the rest of the story. Wouldn't you know it, no sooner had the company built and opened the gigantic lumber operation in 1921 than lumber started going out of style. It was a tremendous multi-factory, an integrated system including a sawmill and a dry kiln and a chemical plant, even a production line carpentry department, 3,000 plus employed. But within only 3 years, because wood was increasingly unimportant to the business, that splendid factory also was. So company managers huddled, beseeched one another, what do we do now? And what they eventually did was this. They formed a transition strategy in which one by one factory operations would be shut down and one new one would replace the others. The manufacture of charcoal briquettes. Because, you see, until then, charcoal was crudely produced, used most exclusively for curing tobacco and heating railroad freight cars. But employing a brand new conversion process which permitted the use of higher temperatures and smooth pillow-shaped briquettes could be treated a refined and manageable form which would lend itself to a much wider variety of applications. In no time, 55 tons of that product was being generated by that one plant every day, and the company's imaginative marketing picked up all of the slack. Artful packaging was designed, picnic kits were mass-produced, camp grills of all sizes, and when it became clear that charcoal briquettes were primarily a summer commodity, a new year-round campaign was introduced. Use your fireplace and cut your furnace bill, one ad said. Let your fireplace give your furnace a rest, said another. The versatile domestic fuel, it was called. An attending copy was compelling. When the days are too warm for a furnace fire, but the nights are still too cool for comfort, burn out charcoal briquettes in your grate. They are clean and compact and easy to handle. They ignite quickly. They burn steadily and completely. And charcoal briquettes sold and sold and sold until the novelty had grown into an institution. It is doubtful that before today you had ever heard of the big lumber mill that became a charcoal factory at Iron Mountain in northern Michigan. Nor that much of that seminal automobile for the masses, called the Model T, was originally made of wood. But from today on, you'll never forget that in the dawn's early light of the age of steel, on the verge of an industrial transition in the early 1920s, a North Michigan family named Kingsford talked automotive pioneer Henry Ford into establishing a gigantic lumber operation in the neighborhood, and that Henry Ford in years to come would commemorate the Kingsford's role in that near disaster by naming his charcoal briquettes after them. The Model T and its immediate progeny have long been consigned to the annals of auto industry history. Yet the symbolic remnant of those wooden tin Lizzies of yesteryear are burning on a billion altars in backyards and campsites around the world. The aroma you once thought familiar? Well, now you know the rest of the story.